Welcome to episode 37 of the Western Roar 129 podcast, and I'm Dr. Jeff Craig, superintendent of schools, and I'm joined today by two esteemed partners in higher education. First, I want to introduce Dr. Brian Cornetto, the fifth president of Waubonsie Community College. He was appointed in January of 2023 with nearly 25 years of experience in higher education and a doctorate in curriculum and instruction from Loyola University of Chicago. Dr. Cornetto oversees the college's diverse programs across multiple campuses and online offerings, actively engaging with our community. Welcome to our show today.
Thank you, Dr. Craig. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. That's really cool. Next, we have Dr. Susanna Rivera-Mills, inaugurated as the 14th president of Aurora University in June of 2023, drawing from her distinguished tenure as provost at Ball State University and holding a doctorate in Romance Languages from the University of New Mexico. Dr. Rivera-Mills is dedicated to fostering innovation and inclusivity, ensuring students thrive in today's educational landscape. We're delighted to have you here today.
Thanks, Dr. Craig. Appreciate the invitation.
Well, we appreciate you both. You're taking time out of your busy schedule. I've got a couple of probes here, and we're going to, you know, for our listeners, we'll toggle back and forth about who responds first. But as I reflect, it's striking to note the parallels between both of you and your transitions to your current positions. In 2023, each of you succeeded individuals with very long-standing tenures, bringing fresh perspectives and vitality to your respective roles, all while honoring the legacy of your predecessors. And your innovative ideas and energy are not just palpable, but certainly indispensable as we navigate the future of education together. So for our listeners, I'm going to start with Dr. Rivera-Mills. If you can talk about what attracted you to Aurora University, and then what are your first impressions of our community?
Yeah, I love that question because as I approach my first full year here in June, you know, I've started actually reflecting on that question. I've spent 30 years as leader and faculty in public education. And honestly, I was a little concerned at first about shifting from public education to a private education, mostly because I have been committed my entire career to providing access to a broad population of students, sure, particularly diverse students. And I was concerned that by shifting to a private institution that I might lose some of that. So the first thing that attracted me to Aurora University was, I remember this line clearly when I was applying for the job, which stated, Aurora University is a private institution with a public mission. And I thought, huh, how fascinating.
There's a way to blend it.
Exactly. And sure enough, as I arrived and as I went through the interview process and as I learned more about Aurora University, this could not be more true. We are committed to access, to providing affordable quality education to a broad group of students. We're a Hispanic serving institution with 48% of our students being of Hispanic descent.
Absolutely.
You know, we have 30% of our students that are first in their families to attend college and nearly 40% that are Pell eligible. So when you have a demographic like that of students and learners, you could not meet that public mission more than what we're doing right now.
I would agree.
And that aligns so well with my own values and my own passion and experience that I just thought this was a great fit. And of course, coming here to Aurora, the second largest city of Illinois, being in Chicagoland, it's just been so exciting to explore all of our suburbs, nearby towns, and really the people have just been amazing. And being in this diverse, populated area has only affirmed the things that first attracted me here.
That's awesome. Well, we're glad you're here. And it sounds like you really thought about some of those magnets that have brought you to this community,
yes,
and this institution. So thank
Absolutely.
You for sharing that.
Thank
Dr. Cornetto, I turn to you. What drew you here?
Well, I had over 10 years of work in Illinois community colleges at one point in my career. And so I knew about Waubonsie, and they always had a very strong reputation for being a student-focused institution, having great talent, great resources. And, you know, and as I was looking for, you know, an opportunity to grow and looking at Waubonsie, I thought, what a great opportunity to come into an institution that had such a strong foundation, such a history of supporting students, of the community thriving, and really tremendous community support. I think it's really important for a community college to be an integral part of the community. And I had known from my work in Illinois community colleges, from researching Waubonsie, that there was tremendous community support. And so, you know, coming into that institution, you get to focus on the opportunities. You get to focus on taking a great institution to being even better than it already is. And you have that that system there to grow. And we are also, like Aurora University, Hispanic-serving institution. We know that the community relies on us for transfer support, for workforce development, and just really being able to come in and knowing that my predecessors have given me left a great gift for an incoming president, and just having all the people at the college supporting the college, it just seemed like a great next step for me. And being in the second largest city in Illinois, having been here now for just over a year, the support from the community has just, it's really there. And it's hard to go anywhere in our district and in the surrounding areas without somebody with a positive Waubonsie story. And that's gratifying. It also, reminds me of the responsibility that I have and that the college has to continue to serve that community.
Yeah, a lot of folks depend on both of your institutions and both of your leadership. And we appreciate, and full disclosure, was a year ago. I had the great opportunity to be asked to be part of a selection committee that found Dr. Knettel, and it was a great, great process. There were some great candidates that came through, and it was a great opportunity to see behind the curtain of a lot of people's experiences and their pathways, the talents that people were bringing to our community. So we're appreciative of that. Both your appointments coincided with significant changes in our community's educational landscape, underscoring the pivotal role played by the collective collaboration of superintendents and presidents in our region and our county. The three of us currently serve on the City of Aurora's Education Commission, whose mission is to foster constructive dialogue and initiatives that benefit Aurora area residents. I'm going to ask both of you, and Dr. Knettel, I'll ask you to start us off. In what ways do you see collaboration among education leaders in our region influencing the development of our new ideas and approaches to our educational mindsets?
Yeah, it's that Aurora Education Commission is an exciting group to be a part of. As you said, it brings together all of those educators and community partners to really focus on a broad community collective impact. I mean, it really is about that collective impact and what we can do together. And there's a nice combination of new voices on that commission along with some long-serving individuals. And what I'm finding is very beneficial about that is bringing in some of those community partners. And so we've had Rush Copley come in, and we've had the Boys and Girls Club come in and talk to us and how we come together with the education community, with our community partners to really support that birth to lifelong learner pipeline. And, there's a subcommittee now looking at that pre-K preparation, having the community college and colleges and the university at the table. It really gives us an opportunity to support our whole community, all of our students, all of our citizens in some really intentional ways. And it's been really gratifying to see that birth to lifelong learner pipeline and, just the enhanced opportunities for the partnerships. It's helped us, and I know the College of DuPage sits on there with building partnerships for dual credit and the work between Aurora University and the community colleges, just having all of those voices in the room focused on what we can do for our entire community is really a unique and gratifying experience.
And I like your categorization of the continuum from birth to lifelong learner. There's not one person that's left out on that listing. So I appreciate and thank you for sharing those examples of those connections. Dr. Rivera-Mills, can you talk a little bit about how you see that collaboration and how it influences our approach to education?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Brian's comments. I think it's just so critical that first that you have everyone at the table that is along that continuum of education, right? So that we can understand where students might be falling through the cracks, right? So that we can understand how we might strengthen those bridges from one level to the next, to ensure that students are getting the support they need. In addition, I've really just appreciated having diverse perspectives I think sometimes when we are faced with a particular issue, it is just an opportunity for us to troubleshoot that. I know that I have learned so much from hearing different people around the room about where things are working well, where we can learn from each other, models of excellence, so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel, and where we might need to bring some new expertise to help us solve some of the other issues. So I think that that has been critical, because we are really moving away from, I think, what has been an old model where one size fits all.
Correct.
We know that that's not true anymore. Probably never was, but certainly it's not true now. And by doing that and by listening to each other, we can better understand the needs, the challenges, and then develop solutions that are actually more personalized to the issues that schools are facing at different levels. So it's about connecting the dots. Absolutely. And creating that seamless connection where students won't fall through the cracks unintentionally, right? One example that I'm really excited about is, I know that we have developed a couple programs, particularly with District 308, okay, where we are providing an opportunity for professional or paraprofessionals to be able to work towards teaching licensure. And then the second one is for current teachers to be able to pursue a master's in their area. And so that has been a great collaboration that is now leading to potential grant opportunities where we could together submit some grants and seek funding around that. And in the same way, we have other types of partnerships with other districts. And again, I come back to this idea of, we come to the table as partners, we listen to each other, we do a needs assessment. What is it that your district needs? And then how can we leverage Aurora University's expertise or resources to meet those needs? And so it becomes very customized, very personalized to how can we address the needs of your district.
Yes.
And I think that's an important approach to keep in mind today as we move things forward.
Yeah, the subscribing back to that, what I need now.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know, and I want to go back. You made a comment about identifying and serving the diversity and building those bridges. And I've heard you speak, whether it's to groups of kids or publicly. And I know that's an important piece for you. But it comes through very consistently, loud and clear, about the importance that you place on how do we strengthen those areas so that we don't have gaps and that we're picking everybody
Correct.
Up. So I appreciate your comment on that.
Yes.
Dr. Knettle, I'm going to lean towards you a little bit. This is kind of near and dear to the heart of our West Aurora folks. And our, you know, you talk about some of the demographics. Now, we've got, when I got here, I think 10 years ago, we were at 48% of our enrollment was Hispanic. We're up to 63%. And we continue to generate lots of diversity. I think we speak about roughly 50 plus languages, and we worship over 19 different religions. So our diversity and your diversity, we share those same opportunities, and I think that's a great identifier for us. But at the heart of our collaboration with Waubonsie Community College is our emphasis on dual credit, the amount and the number of diverse courses that are offered at West Aurora High School. And some of our listeners may not understand the benefit. Dual credit classes provide both our high school credit towards graduation, but also college credit simultaneously. So if you could elaborate on why Waubonsie places such an importance on promoting these courses in our community, and not just with us, but globally.
Yeah, dual credit is one of those initiatives that's very near and dear to my heart as well. When I first started as an administrator in community colleges, a lot of my early work focused on developing dual credit. And this was before you had the dramatic increase in dual credit statewide.
Sure.
So we, you know, you had one or two courses. And so a big part of my job when I was a dean of liberal arts was to build more dual credit partnerships with our high school partners. And so I've always been a big proponent of it. And the benefits are tremendous, from practical to sometimes almost the intangible, and a very practical level that provides students with early exposure to the rigors of college coursework in an environment that is perhaps a little bit safer and more controlled than a college higher ed environment. So they get that exposure. They're earning college credits. So when they do transfer, if they do come to the community college, they have a bit of a head start. They can save some resources and save some money by having some of those early college credits coming with them to the college or to their transfer institution. It also, students who finish dual credit and then go off to higher ed tend to be more successful. Some of the research is showing that they tend to be more successful if they have dual credit. It is more accessible. We talk about our changing student demographics. It's more accessible than some other early forms or some other forms of college credit like AP. Dual credit tends to be much more accessible than some of those. And you know, one of the ways we started talking about it early on is with that accessibility piece. It can inspire a student to continue education that they might not have otherwise. So we used to think of it also as that practical side of giving students early opportunities, giving them a head start, perhaps a quicker path to their bachelor's degree or associate's degree. But more than anything, a student who might not think that college is for them, who might not think they could succeed in a college level class, having that early college credit in that environment can inspire them to go on and earn more college credits. And so
even if it whets their appetite with
right. And if and maybe it's an English class, maybe it's a math class, but maybe it's another class in a workforce program or in another area where they didn't quite know what they would want to do after they left high school. But this gives them a flavor of not only I can do it, but I can do something that I enjoy doing. So I have been an evangelist for dual credit for quite some time, you know, and every institution that I think I've worked at has been tired of hearing me say it. You know, it's important that we do it well. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's important that we do it well. It's important that we do it in partnership with our high schools. It's important that the faculty are at the table to talk about those courses so that we make sure that it is that college experience, but in a slightly different environment that could really pay big dividends when they're done.
Absolutely.
At college.
And, you know, I'd be remiss if we didn't point out there's the economic tangible
right. That
goes back to our families.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Every one of those credit hours, there's a dollar amount that's attached to it. And so every step that student can earn some of that through their efforts, that's reflected back on our families.
Yep.
So we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Dr. Rivera-Mills, we have a different partnership with Aurora University, and that's through the education department, where we have hands-on teaching experiences where your students who are in their methods courses, I remember those well, that help prepare educators in the areas of language arts, social studies, math, special ed, and English language learners. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen in terms of what the benefit is for not only Aurora University, but for our students with those experiences?
Yes. You know, I'm a huge proponent for what I call experiential learning, right? Hands-on learning. And one of the things I hope to do at AU is not just wait until the students are juniors and seniors in the methods courses to have those experiences, but actually bring them down to the freshman level. Because I think it's so critical that students right away begin exploring
Absolutely. What
that career will look like. Mm. It's actually, I would say, as valuable for a student to find out that maybe that's not right for them as it is to affirm their passion
Absolutely.
Of what they want to do. And so I'm really excited that we have this partnership because I think that there are many opportunities for students to come out to the district and really see what teaching is all about. Look at the joys as well as the challenges that are out there. And I think it also helps the districts to have our students there and to start forming those relationships very intentionally.
No doubt.
You have an additional person in the classroom, but the relationships are crucial. I can tell you that besides this partnership, one of the things that we do is we currently conduct mock interviews with every single one of your districts. And in those mock interviews, students develop partnerships so much so that many times they walk out of those mock interviews with a potential job offer.
Wow, that's
before
cool.
they graduate, which is amazing. And it's beneficial, again, to the district, especially we all understand the teacher shortage, the crisis that we have, teacher shortage. And particularly, again, as I want to emphasize, the fact that we can provide a workforce that's very diverse. And given that your students are very diverse, now you have students that can see themselves in those that are teaching them.
And we're not making decisions based off a 30-minute discussion.
Exactly.
We have several weeks, months of experience.
You've had that relationship now for a while. And so those relationships are critical.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for being an awesome partner. Mm-hmm. I want to highlight, too, that both Aurora University and Waubonsie Community College signed an agreement where Waubonsie students pursue a bachelor's degree at AU following completion of coursework at Waubonsie. From your perspectives, I'm going to start with you, Dr. Rivera-Mills. Mm-hmm. If you can talk about, so for our staff and our parents that are listening to this, what did you see as a benefit to our West Aurora High School students?
Right. And this was something that I was very excited about. I think I was on the job maybe 3 weeks,
yeah.
Brian.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Before we signed this agreement. And this is one of the discussions that Brian and I have had often. You know, like we said, one size does not fit all anymore. Mm. And we have to acknowledge also that our students no longer follow a linear path to a degree. Many of them, as a matter of fact, I just saw this statistics not long ago. Most college students will attend two or three institutions on the way to complete a college degree. That includes a community college experience. It includes a four-year school. It may include something else along the way. And so it isn't linear, and we want our students to have options. So I think by having this agreement, now students and their families can look at the options of potential pathways that mm-hmm. they can follow. They can go to Waubonsie for a while. They can transfer over to Aurora University. We're even talking about what we're calling, you know, reverse transfer, where mm-hmm. they might start at AU, and for whatever reason, life happens, they need to maybe go to Waubonsie for a while sure. before they come back to us. So we just want to make this pathway as easy as possible and provide options so that they understand they may want to go to work right out of high school and then come back into this pathway. And we're hoping that we can provide that information, that education, and what that looks like so that families and students have more options.
What an awesome connection. Dr. Cornetto, thoughts?
Just that seamlessness, you know, for the West Aurora families especially, but for anyone in our community, just being able to have those multiple pathways and being able to do it more seamlessly. You know, what that articulation agreement really means is that, you know, we're working together. You know, the two schools are working together to try to make this better for students in our community to, you know, whether it is linear, whether it's more circuitous than that, that they have the opportunity after high school to go through community college, earn a bachelor's degree and beyond, you know, and staying local, staying right here. We know a lot of students that start at a community college do so for any number of reasons, sure. but a lot of it's just not wanting to leave home or being able to leave home. And we're so fortunate to have in our district a great four-year university that we can work with so closely. And there's a lot of research, too, that demonstrates that students that go through a community college will stay in their community, whether they finish at their community college or a four-year. And so for the long-term economic and talent development within our community, this is a great thing. And I just have to say, when I, you know, look across the table and I see a partner and a friend and, you know, if nothing else, you know, to know that we're working together and we're both really focused on student success and collaboration and doing everything we can.
Absolutely.
Community, so.
Well, it's ironic that you say that because one of the notes I was taking as I'm listening and in a world where we have become very turfish mm-hmm. and very siloed in this is my boundaries, this is about me. My notes to myself was you guys are a phenomenal and outstanding example of working together, creating partnerships and collaborating for the benefit of the communities that you serve.
Yes.
And so if there's a light to be shown, you guys are phenomenal. Put you up on the stage with anybody. So thank you for leading the way in that that example.
Thank you.
You know, we have felt some of the effects post-pandemic in terms of how we deliver that thing called education. And I know it's a different feel for the post-secondary. So I'd be interested to hear what has been some of the biggest shifts as you come out with student needs, with the life that happens. Mm-hmm. How have you had to adjust or thought about adjusting to continue to meet the needs of our students? Dr. Rivera-Mills?
Yes, you know, I think the changes that we saw from the pandemic, there was a period of time shortly after where all of us hoped that we could go back.
Mm, yes.
Back to whatever that was, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that now we all understand that there is no going back. Mm. That we have to look forward and we have to ask the question, what does this actually mean? And how do we redefine the work that we're doing to meet the needs of students? And it really has become about meeting students where they are. Our students at Aurora University, very much, I'm sure, like yours, Brian, they work 2-3 jobs. They have family demands on their time. They can't always be present. We have a high level of students who are commuters. Our physical space at AU is actually quite limited. We only have, out of the 6,000 students we educate, only about 730 actually live on campus.
Wow.
The rest are commuters. And about, I would say, 1,500 of those are online students. So what we're finding is our students are telling us that, interestingly enough, they're not asking to be 100% online, which I think was a surprise to many of us because we were expecting this generation being so digital, everybody would want everything online. And they're saying, no, we don't want that. They're looking for a hybrid experience.
Mm, yes.
They want the, you know, interpersonal engagement, but they also want the flexibility
on their
because
terms.
Exactly, yeah. Because of the lives that are complicated nowadays. So what that means for us is we're investing a lot on technology, on having more sophisticated platforms that will support that hybrid university, which is really the future of higher education, to become that hybrid university and to ensure that where we do have that face-to-face experience, that it's meaningful, that it's purposeful, that we're designing it very intentionally. And we actually started that approach last fall after I arrived, and we had the highest level of engagement at our university campus events that we ever had. Because again, people are hungry for that social connection, but it has to be meaningful to them.
Sure.
It has to mean something. They have to be able to invest that time. And so that's the way we're going to continue to design this as we go.
That's awesome. You know, those are sage words too, because meaningful and purposeful, whether it's in person or online, doesn't make a difference.
That's right.
That's our role.
Absolutely.
Dr. Canetto?
Yeah, we're seeing the exact same thing. It's like she read my notes here.
I saw you looking over your shoulder.
We're the same thing. We're seeing that increased desire for flexibility. Mm. And we're not seeing a lot of students going fully online, nor are we really seeing a lot of students going fully in person. They might be taking a fully in-person class. They might be taking a hybrid class and an online class. So they're looking for a schedule, an experience that is meaningful, that is purposeful, but fits some of their schedules and some of their life circumstances. And that's not only in how we offer classes, we're also seeing that in some of our services that we offer. So we are trying and have been expanding some of our services in advising, in our mental health support that we provide students, our financial aid advising. We're doing some of that in online and virtual formats as well, tutoring, because we know that I might be able to come to class and might prefer to come to class for an in-person experience. But in the evening, if I'm taking care of my family and I need to talk to an advisor, I might not be able to go to one of our campuses, but it'd be great to have a virtual appointment with my advisor. So in addition to looking at our modalities and what we need to do for our classroom mix of experiences, we're also looking at expanding the way we offer those support services in different modalities as well. It's been a big shift. Fortunately, we had a quick crash course in it with the pandemic and everybody kind of shifted. And now I think a lot of institutions are trying to figure out what is the right mix for them, for their community, for their students. And, you know, we're in a period of right-sizing our institutions now with those services in the right mix.
Well, and you touched a little bit about it. Dr. Rivera-Mills, you talked about meeting people where they were. And Dr. Canetto, you talked about that mental health aspect, mm-hmm. which is, it's not in your face, but it certainly is. It's around not just our students, but around our staff and our community.
Yeah.
So to not address it, I think, would be disingenuous. So I'm glad both of you are addressing those challenges, as are we. I'm going to ask both of you to be a little bit philosophical now. And Dr. Cannell, I'm going to start with you. You can address either or both. I'm going to ask for you to share some of your wisdom and advice for aspiring educators, for one. So those that maybe are coming out of your institutions that say, I went through that methods course, you know, you showed me a great opportunity. Yes, I want to be. What's your advice? And I think the other key piece that as we, you talked earlier, right at our very first opening, there's a transition in leadership in our community. And so lots of new leaders are coming through and we're experiencing that here. What would you counsel those that are aspiring to be in leadership roles? So you can either pick one or tackle them both. I've talked enough to give you time to think about it.
Yep.
So no more stalling on my part.
So I often will get asked, what is one of the more important leadership qualities? And I will often come back with the same answer. And I think it's humility. And I think humility is knowing what you know and feeling confident in what you know, but also being able to step back when you don't know something.
Yes.
And a lot of that is a process of continuing to listen, continuing to learn, continuing to rely on others who might be able to help you as a leader. And so I put a lot of stock in humility and being a humble person. And again, that doesn't mean you always defer to people, because I think a big part of humility is knowing what you know and feeling confident and moving forward with that. You know, just building those partnerships, building those connections. What we do now in education is such difficult work that not one person can have it all on top of them. And I think sometimes as leaders, you think it has to all come from you, and you need to be the sole source of information and the sole source of decision making. And the work is too complicated and too difficult to do that. And so really being humble enough to ask for help and to ask questions and to continue to listen, to continue to learn is really important. And when I think about people that want to go into positions, and I think about my current role, and I always think about somebody walking, somebody especially who's walking forward, you know, that one foot is always off the ground and moving forward, but there's a back foot that is grounding you and pushing you forward. And I think about that as the foundation, the learnings that we have, and those types of things ground you, the history that you're stepping into or coming out of, and allowing that to project you forward and to always have that foot in the air, moving you forward, thinking differently and constantly making progress on the things that are important to you and to your community.
Wow, you did wax philosophical for us.
It's a liberal arts major for
nicely
you.
Done. Dr. Rivera-Mills, I defer to you. What advice would you give aspiring educators and leaders?
Oh, well, first of all, Brian, I think you said it very well. So I'm only going to build on that and maybe just add a little different perspective. The first thing related to what you said, actually, is it's so important that you know yourself and that you know your values. Know why you do what you do. You know, Simon Sinek talks about knowing your why.
Yes.
And how important it is that you know what's that driver that keeps you moving forward, because we all have difficult times. And let me tell you, in some of the most difficult days, I wake up and I try to remind myself, okay, why am I doing this? And sure enough, as I'm walking to my office, I'll run into a student and I'll remember why I do what I do, right? So know your why, know yourself, be self-aware enough, because I think that leads to being humble enough to know when to ask for help when you need additional guidance. The other piece of advice that I want to give is it's so important to connect, to network, to connect to other people. As you have heard us talk, you can't do this work alone. It is too large. It is too complicated. There are too many uncertainties out there now, and you need others to be able to bounce ideas off of, to create partnerships and collaborations. That's going to be critical. Third thing I want to leave people with is be intentional about developing yourself as a leader. So look for opportunities that allow you to lead at all levels. You know, some of the best learning that I had was actually serving on boards, volunteering for community organizations. I learned so much about leadership during that time. So if those opportunities show up for you to take a leadership role in a committee, to chair a committee, to to lead a project. Take those on because that will develop skills that will pay off in dividends.
Absolutely.
And then finally, I just think that we're at a time, if we have learned nothing else, is that leaders today need to be resilient and courageous. Mm-hmm. We've been through a lot. I am sure that we're going to continue to face challenges, and that's going to require that resilience. Hold on to that why tight, because you'll need that drive. But then we also need people who can make difficult decisions. And that's where courage comes in. We can't do everything. We have to prioritize. And that means saying yes to some things and saying no to others. So we need strong leaders. And more than ever, I would encourage everybody to seek that. We need those leaders in education today.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. Dr. Roberto Mills, president of Rural University. Dr. Brian Canetto, president of Waubonsie Community College. I can't express enough our appreciation for you guys taking time to come talk to us and sharing your talents, not only with our conversation today, but with our community and all that you do for our students and our community. So thank you both.
Thank you,
and
Jeff.
Dr. Craig, thanks to you for all of your leadership over the years. We know that you are on the verge of retirement. And
rumor has it, it's getting close.
It's getting close. And I just know from talking to people in the community, including my predecessor and others, that you have been an amazing leader.
Yes.
And
oh,
have done
you.
Tremendous work.
Absolutely.
So thank you for all your work and wishing you well.
Appreciate that. We'll take that. Please remember that you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music, SoundCloud, and the TuneIn Radio app. We'll see you next time.